If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be in verses 29 through 34 this morning. Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34. We've been talking about the red letters in the Bible. Jesus had many intimate conversations, and we're only looking at seven of them over the summer, but he would have these intimate conversations at times with individuals. Some were his disciples, some were people like the Pharisees or the scribes or the religious leaders of that day or the rulers of that day. Jesus would have these intimate conversations. Some Bibles, like the one I have, actually puts those conversations in red, Jesus' words. So that's why I named this Red Letters, looking at some of Jesus' words and what he said in the New Testament. I don't know about you, if you've ever experienced being in a cave or not. I was able to go down to Mammoth Caves. It was actually before Stacy and I were even married. I went on a vacation kind of just by myself as a single guy. I hadn't even had any conversations with Stacy yet, anything like that. We weren't in a relationship at all, but I decided to go on this vacation, and it took me through Kentucky, and I was looking at things to do, and I saw the Mammoth Caves. I thought, well, that'd be fun to do. I'd never done anything like that before, and so I show up, and you go on a tour, and you get to see. It's going to be hard to see, but you get to go into these caves and look, and they're pretty well lit. The caves, they have electricity run with lights and different things in order, lanterns, that kind of stuff, in order to light the caves. You go down deep into these caves, and all of a sudden, even when you look online at it, they tell you, you might want to bring a jacket. No matter what temperature it is outside, you want to bring a jacket, because as you walk down into these caves, it gets cooler and cooler. Some are mid-50s. 55, 56 degrees, and so as you go down, you begin to get cool, and it also is kind of, you have this kind of feeling of humidity. I mean, it's moist when you go down there into the cave, and it's chilly, and so you're walking down into this cave, and then they warn you that they're going to turn out the lights. So now everybody just stand still. Don't go running around at this point, but we're going to turn the lights off. And then, can't really see a whole lot there, can you? It gets dark, and it's just not a little dark. I can do this, and I don't see that I have a hand dark. It's very dark. It's like being blind. And you would think they wouldn't wait too long, but it seemed like a few minutes. They left these lights off, and it begins to get a little eerie and kind of weird, because you're like, okay, what's going on around me? And you're hearing noises, and you're experiencing this cave, but without any sight. There were two men in our passage this morning who were blind. They're going to confront Jesus because they are blind, and they're going to ask for healing. Jesus, this is the end of Jesus' ministry. And as Jesus traveled around, word spread quickly about what he was able to do. Word spread that he was healing the blind, that he was casting out demons, that he was making the lame to walk, that he was multiplying food. Word spread pretty quickly. These two men were sitting alongside the road, and they asked Jesus to show compassion on them. The text we're going to be in is Matthew chapter 20. Verses 29 through 34, but instead of just reading it this morning, I wanted to experience the text a little bit. So I'm going to need some help. I need a couple of volunteers. Now don't let all those hands go up at once. The volunteers have the easy part. Steve, okay. Oh, guess, Jack says, guess I don't have a choice. All right, Steve has done this before for me, been blindfolded. I live to tell. Can you tie that around yourself there? You both wear glasses, so maybe you don't even need the blindfolds. I don't know. By the way, I'm turning 39 this week, and I went to the eye doctor last week, and I'm going to be getting glasses soon. So next week, I'll probably be up here as one of those with glasses. You able to get that tied, Jack? Okay, Steve, I need you to come over here. Just take a couple steps this way. And, okay, that's good. You get it? Molly's helping him out here.
Good.
Okay, good. All right, you're going to come right over here, right?
I'm dependent on you.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm just going to have you stand right next to Steve.
Okay.
You're right next to Steve. Here. Here you go. There you go. You guys are right there. All right. So in our text this morning, there are two blind men. How are you guys at memorizing stuff? You're in Bible memory, so you should be pretty good at memorizing stuff, right? No? No? Well, I need you guys to remember a phrase. Okay? The phrase is, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Say that with me. Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Right? Let's try it again. Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Okay? You got the phrase? Sure? Okay, I'll try to remind you if you can. So we have our two blind men, but there was also a crowd that was there. And so you guys are going to have a role as well. First, the crowd was following Jesus. Can you guys? Good. Secondly, in our passage, it says that the crowd rebuked them. Everybody go, shh. I think you guys can do that a little bit louder. Good. Okay, so you guys got your role? So when I say great crowd followed him, and the crowd rebuked him, and you guys, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. Good job. Okay, Matthew chapter 20, verse 29. And as they went out of Jericho, who's the they? It's Jesus and his disciples. A great crowd followed him. And behold, there were two blind men. They're standing, but they're sitting by the roadside. And when they heard that Jesus was passing by, they cried out,
Lord, have mercy on us, son of David.
But the crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent. But they cried out all the more,
Lord, have mercy on us, son of David.
And stopping, Jesus called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Lord, let our eyes be opened. And Jesus, in pity, touched their eyes. He touched their eyes. It's a little tight. And immediately, they recovered their sight, and they followed him. Thank you, guys. Give these guys a round of applause. Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. Last week we talked about two conversations Jesus had. One was a rich young ruler, the Bible tells us. The other one was with Zacchaeus. One went away sad because Jesus told him to give away all that he had and follow him, and the man couldn't do that, and so he went away sad. And then there was Zacchaeus, who wasn't even told to give away his possessions, and yet he was a rich man because he was one of the chief IRS guys. He was a chief tax collector. And so Jesus comes to his house and he gives away and he says, I'm going to pay back fourfold anybody who has wronged me. Jesus said, on this day salvation has come to this household, has come to Zacchaeus and his family. We noted last week that Jesus was entering Jericho, and now they're going out of Jericho. This is in Jesus' final weeks. This is near the end of his life. He's leaving Jericho to go to Jerusalem. He's leaving Jericho. Jericho's to the southwest of Jerusalem. He's leaving Jericho and he's traveling. This is his last travels that he's going to have with his people, with his disciples. He will go to Jerusalem. They will have what we know is the Lord's Supper. They will have the feast there to celebrate Passover, the Passover meal. And then a few hours later, Judas will betray him. He will be arrested. He will be beaten. He will be accused. He will be persecuted. He will be abandoned by his disciples. And then he will be crucified. And he will die. At this point, Jesus is being followed by a great crowd. As I said, this is time for Passover. Many people are going up to Jerusalem. So a lot of those who followed Jesus, he would come into a city, and we know that there were times there were more than 5,000 people who would follow him. So it made some ruckus when Jesus was coming down the road. Not only was it Jesus and his entourage, his 12 guys and other disciples who were following, but it was just a busy time of travel because everybody was going to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. They encounter these two blind men, and that was very common, especially on a road that was well traveled. The blind men would sit on the side of the road, and there were offerings usually given to the blind men to help them because they weren't able to provide for themselves. They weren't able to make any money. They had no way of fending for themselves, so they would sit on the side of the road, and people would walk by and give them something. They both had their spot. A lot of you have your spots this morning. They both had their spot. They knew where they were going. Either their friends brought them or somehow they knew this was where we're going to go and sit. And so they would go and they would sit there day after day after day. I want you to notice the actions of the blind men. First, they heard. These two blind men, they heard. They'd been sitting alongside the road for a long time. The Bible doesn't tell us how long they'd been blind. There are those in the Bible we're told are born blind. We don't know. There are some with medical conditions that they just end up blind later on in their life, or there could have been an accident, or we don't know how they ended up blind, but this is the state that they find themselves in, on the side of the road, and they had a problem that seemed unsolvable. They had a problem that day after day after day, it didn't get any better. It was just their life to some degree. But they hear the footsteps of a crowd approaching. This is more than the normal travel that we hear. Normally, it's just a few footsteps. Along with people, there would be animals traveling, donkeys, who knows what. And so they hear the crowd approaching. What's going on? What's all the noise? They hear the conversations of the people getting closer and closer and closer, and they start hearing a name, and everybody's talking about this name, and they don't know why. Jesus. 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 Well, they've heard about this Jesus, but they never have met him. So they begin asking, who is Jesus? Oh, you should meet him. He's great. They just keep walking by. They keep walking by. Finally, they cry out. they cry out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. Lord, have mercy. The second point, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. They say it once, but then the crowd, shh, be quiet, leave him alone. Hush, you're drawing attention to yourself, be quiet. They just push him off to the side. The Bible tells us they cried out all the more. I'm thankful my guys caught that this morning. They didn't just, Lord, Son of Mercy. They cried out all the more. These guys, I can imagine if they think there's some hope in what Jesus could do for them. Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David. They cried out all the more. They shouted as loud as they could. And then Jesus stopped. These two men recognized who Jesus was. The term Son of David, that is an Old Testament term that's used for the Messiah. The Messiah, which in Isaiah is depicted as one who will bring sight back to the blind. The ears of the deaf will be unplugged. The lame man Isaiah pictures as leaping like a deer. The tongue of the mute singing for joy. Isaiah gives us these pictures of the eyes of the blind being opened. The mute being able to speak. The lame being able to walk. The deaf hearing again. All through the Messiah, they understood who Jesus was. They may have been physically blind, but their spiritual sight was 20/20. They understood spiritually who Jesus was. Again, I don't know how they found that out, whether it was just by the conversations of the people around them or they began to hear that he was healing other people. This must be the Messiah then. This must be the Messiah. They cried out. They requested. Jesus stops and calls to them. He asked them a question. The only red letters in this whole passage. What do you want me to do for you? Maybe the only words he speaks, but his actions speak volumes as well. What do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, let our eyes be opened. We want to be able to see. Jesus touches their eyes and they're able to see. I don't know about you, but if they were born blind, opening their eyes and the first light that gets in is, but images start to appear and the fuzziness begins to go away. And it's kind of like when you first wake up in the morning and you're like, They're taking all this in. All of a sudden they begin to see images. Colors, shapes, things maybe they haven't seen for their whole life. Now they're experiencing all of creation in front of them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it will be given to you. First John also says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. When we go before him on Sunday mornings, I have confidence that he's hearing those requests. But not just here in this group. When I pray in my office, I have confidence that he's hearing those requests. When I'm at home and we pray with our daughter, I have confidence that he is hearing those requests. And just like any good father wants to give the good things to his children, as the Bible tells us, so our Heavenly Father wants to give us good gifts as well. We have to understand that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us and he wants to meet our request. Finally, the actions of the blind men, they recovered. Jesus shows pity on these two men and he touches their eyes and immediately they're healed. He shows compassion, he shows mercy. Matthew chapter 9. There's some grumbling going on. Jesus is in one of these situations where there's people around him, and some of them are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and he's eating with sinners. And so they begin to grumble. But when he, being Jesus, when he heard it being their grumbling, but when Jesus heard their grumbling, Jesus said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners." Jesus is saying, I didn't come to eat amongst those who were righteous. I came to eat amongst those who are sinners because they need to be saved. Who are the ones around him? The Pharisees, the tax collectors, the ones who think they're righteous. Did they have sin in their lives? Yes. Because the law was only given so that it could show, so that it could be a mirror to their sin. But Jesus came not to call the righteous, because the Bible tells us no one is righteous, no, not one. But he came to call sinners to follow him. Jesus' ministry emphasized compassion for those who needed healing, both physically and spiritually. What happened? Well, the actions of the blind man, there's just this little part at the end. It says, and Jesus in pity touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed. They followed him. They became a part of that crowd. They became a part of that group that was following Jesus to Jerusalem. I don't know if these men were there or not, but maybe they experienced Jesus' crucifixion. Maybe they were some of the ones who experienced Jesus that he appeared to. Because Jesus didn't just appear to the disciples, he appeared later to many. Wouldn't that be something? It's not in the Bible, by the way. This is just my imagination rolling. Wouldn't that be something? If they had been blind, they followed Jesus to Jerusalem, they experienced his crucifixion, they hear days later that he rose again, and then they get to see him again. They get to meet and talk with him again. They get to see him, the one who brought sight to the blind. They followed him. These two men couldn't see physically, but they could see spiritually. I want to turn that around for us this morning. There are many people who might be our friends, our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers, school's going to start back up soon, our students. There are many who maybe don't know about Jesus. Physically, they can see just fine. Physically, they can see things like, they can have experiences like going in and seeing Mammoth Cave inside. They can experience things like a great sunrise or a great sunset. They can physically see just fine, but spiritually, their vision is gone. Spiritually, they are not able to see at all. The Bible talks about those who are not able to see, and one of those passages is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In their case, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, the ones who are not able to see, those who are blinded, he will say, in their case, the god of this world. Who's the god of this world? Satan. In their case, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Satan has blinded unbelievers. You have family members, you have friends, you have loved ones, you have neighbors who are blinded, who do not know anything about the gospel. It used to be you could talk about church, you could talk about Jesus, you could talk about God, and people would have some knowledge. But there are those in our society who you would talk to about God and they would have no understanding. They might not have any understanding of who God is. Jesus came to reveal the mystery of the gospel. Jesus revealed who God was to us. His true purpose was to die and pay the penalty for sin once and for all, to be buried, and on the third day come back to life. And his resurrection proved the authority he had over death. He conquered death once and for all, offering those who believe, who would believe in him, eternity. An eternity with God. And God entrusts those who believe in him to tell of his works. He entrusts those who believe in him to tell about the gospel message, to tell about Jesus Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, challenges the believers that they are ministers of a new covenant. They're ministers of the covenant that Jesus brought in, not the old covenant, which was the Old Testament law, but the new covenant that Jesus brought in. We're ministers of a new covenant. And we're called to tell others about Christ. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's what I'm talking about here, he talks about this veil, the blindness. But he says when people see or hear the gospel message, the veil is removed. Whenever I hear the term veil, I think of a bride walking down the aisle and having the veil over her face to hide her face from her soon-to-be husband. That veil, the Bible says, will be removed. Those blinders will be taken off when we begin to share the gospel message. There are a lot of people out there who need to hear the message of hope in Jesus Christ. They don't know it, they don't understand it, and they'll probably resist it. It's all because of their blindness. It's all because Satan does this to them, causes them to not be able to see. But once their eyes are open, they're going to find freedom in a relationship with Jesus. So my question this morning, who do you know that needs to have their eyes open to Jesus' message? I know I have people on my mind. Who do you know that needs to have their eyes open to Jesus' message? I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray this morning. I'd ask that you focus your prayer on those you may know who are spiritually blind, those who need to hear Jesus' message. Pray for them by name. Pray that God would give you an opportunity as a minister of Jesus' message to tell them more about him. Pray that you would have the opportunity to show them mercy, forgiveness, and love, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Jack was talking about those this morning. Be a tree that the fruit will fall off and hit somebody in the head with. Might hurt from an apple, but probably from love it wouldn't hurt. pray that these individuals would have an opportunity to hear the gospel message. And then commit to praying for them. Commit to praying for those names. Maybe it's daily, maybe it's weekly, but commit to praying for those individuals. We're just going to spend a few minutes in prayer. So would you bow your heads with me? Just think of the names of those who maybe need to hear the gospel message. Father, you've heard many, many names this morning. Father, those this congregation cares about, but those that we know need to hear your message. Those who maybe have been resistant to the message of the gospel. God, those who are reluctant to pursue you. But Father, those who we know salvation only comes through Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, I pray that you would work in these lives. God, where hearts need to be softened, I pray that you would soften those hearts. Where eyes need to be opened to the gospel, I pray you open those eyes. Where your word needs to be proclaimed, I pray that you would put people there to proclaim it. Father, where you give us opportunities to proclaim the gospel in others' lives, God, help us to do it. Even as Paul asked, help that I may proclaim it boldly. Father, I pray that you would work in all of these lives. God, we believe it's according to your will. Because your word tells us that you wait so that many more will be saved. And God, we pray. We pray that your kingdom would come, your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, help us to do what we're called to do, to proclaim your message. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.